Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Davis, this is the 12th Hour Apostolic Seventh Sunday Congregation, not out of the 12th Hour, Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is June 17, 2017, it is season 23, 2021. We will start our first service today on this Sabbath day with a song entitled Victory in Yahshua. Heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory. I gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his glory, of his precious blood atoning. And I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Yahshua, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him. And all my love is to him. He plants me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his tender power revealing. I made the land to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Yahshua, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Yahshua came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Yahshua, our Savior forever. He sought me and brought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and oh my Lord, this be him. He plants me to victory beneath the crimson flood. I heard about a mansion he had built for me in glory. Heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the songs of victory. Oh, victory in Yahshua, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He blessed me with victory beneath the tender blood. Origin of the Gentiles, Part 1. We're going to start with Genesis chapter 10. But first we're going to go to a memory verse. I'm going to try to have a memory verse every sermon from this point on in. It's a memory verse is taken from 3:16 today. 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Leading up to that statement by Paul, he says, verse 12. not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after it, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of the Yahshua Messiah. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Now that word forgetting only appears one time in the KJV. And that's in Philippians 3:13. And that's what the Holy Spirit told me earlier this morning, to deal with that word, forgetting. Telling all of those that have laid a hold of the present truth and that are apprehending to become perfect and to enter into the everlasting kingdom of heaven here on earth, then they have to forget those things which are behind. This is a command. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of commands given by Yahweh and the Son and the Scriptures. Did you know that every command that is given by the Father and the Son is a commandment? And it's also the law of Yahweh. All of your commandments, statutes, precepts, ordinances, all of that, all combined into one thing, and it's called the law of Yahweh. All commands, everything, it has to do with the command. Like this word, let this mind be in you, which is also in Yahshua, which is, I think that's Philippians 2:5. The word let is a command. The word let is a command word. It's a law word. Anytime you see the word let this commanding you to do something, then that's the law of Yahweh. So in Philippians 2:5 it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Yahshua Messiah, who being in the form of the Yahweh, thought it not robbery to be equal with Yahweh. Now, why did Yahshua think this way? He acknowledged that he was in the form of his Father, that he was created out of the loins of his Father, that he was inferior to his Father, but he thought it not robbery to be equal with the Father mentally. Because he was commanded to let the Father's mind be in him. And that's what upset his enemies so much. The Pharisees, Sadducees, all of them. Because it was the mind of Yahweh that was speaking through Yahshua. And they claimed to be they had Yahweh to their Father. They claimed to have him, that they worshipped him and obeyed him. But they couldn't stand the sound of his voice. When they actually heard the voice of the Father speaking through the Son, they couldn't handle it. Same thing today, folks. Actually, we have another key word here that we want to use. And that's the word bondage, B-O-N-D-A-G-E. And we want to talk about that a little bit. We'll get into our sermon here concerning of the Gentiles once again. But I want to tell Jeff White in Africa, I want to tell you up front, I'm going to do this at the very beginning, that I did 36 one-hour sermons on the Gentiles, and my wife posted them, and those sermons came as a follow-up on your request that you were needing information to go to the Gentiles. And my wife sent you an article on the Gentiles, and you used it, and the Holy Spirit impressed me to do a series on the Gentiles and exhaust every scripture in the Bible that had to do with Syrians, I mean with Gentiles. And I also read every chapter, practically, of every book that had a Gentile in it. I read every chapter that the Gentile was found in. I spent 36 hours doing this. Now, Jeff White, there is enough information, present truth there for the Gentiles, and I think I told you that all you have to do is listen to those sermons and take the highlights from them. And that's all you will need. That's all you'll need. Because that's all they'll be able to understand as what is presented in those sermons. They won't understand strong doctrine. So you already told me. Said the Gentiles, if you want to lose them, just go and start throwing strong doctrine and prophecy at them. You got to deal with them first, and so that's what we're going to deal with right now, is Gentiles, or the origin of the Gentiles. But there were, as I said, look up the word bondage on your computer. Go to Strong Concordance and pull it up. There's 39 verses. There's 39 times it's mentioned in 37 verses. And let's turn to Exodus chapter 6, verse 6, and read that for another memory verse. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Yahweh, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. That's Exodus 6, 6. Okay, that's a promise. And not only that, but that is, that's by an oath and a promise. And actually, this is Yahshua talking. Wherefore, saying to the children of Israel, I am the Yahshua. But it's got all uppercase in the writing here. It says Lord, all uppercase. So the translators are saying that this is Yahweh the Father. And they may be right, but I know that Yahshua is the one that joined Moses in that cloud. That was above the Egyptians that delivered them out of the Egyptian bondage on the Passover night. I know that. So it says, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Yahshua, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm. What is that? How did he redeem them? The blood on the doorpost is what redeemed them out from under the house of bondage. Well, we have that same blood today, folks. And having said that, there's all I'm going to say on that part. And I'm going to now, once again, Jeff White, for your benefit and for the Gentile that you're going to, the Holy Spirit impressed me to go to Genesis chapter 10 and establish in your mind the origin of the Gentiles. And you are to teach this to the Gentile nation. And as soon as you establish the origin, then go to Ephesians chapter 2 and show where Paul established the origin with those Ephesian Gentiles by telling them, I am a Jew. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee, but I'm of the house of Israel, a Hebrew Israelite. And you are Gentile brethren, but we are kinsmen. We are blood kin. Now this is what you're to teach to your Gentile friends that you're going to be meeting out there. Stay away from the Sabbath. Only deal with the Sabbath in the form of lay a hold of my covenant. Now, if you want to do that, then go to Isaiah 56 and tell your Gentile friends to lay a hold of my covenant, my Sabbath. And the stranger within your gates, he does this. The stranger is your Gentiles. Isaiah 56. Do that in that order and show them where, if they lay hold of his covenant, though they're Gentiles, no matter, if they've got to, by laying a hold of the covenant, they automatically come into the Sabbath truth. You don't have to go throwing that at them about Constantine changing the from Sabbath to Sunday, the day of worship. You don't have to throw that at them at all, because all your Gentiles out there that you're going to be meeting, they're Sunday keepers. For the most part, they're Sunday keepers. And they're very closely connected to the Catholic doctrine. So that's what you're dealing with. You don't want to go attacking their father. You don't want to go attacking their father and say, well, Papa Pope, he's the author of the Sunday. He changed it. And don't go showing them all this evidence where the Catholic Church claimed to have the authority to do that. Don't hit them with that. Stay away from strong doctrine. Stay away from prophecy. Strong, that's called strong meat. And I'm going to read that to you from the scriptures also. I'm going to read it to you from the scriptures, and then I'm going to go into the origin of the Gentiles. So the sermons that I preach every day, they're present truth. This is what the Spirit gives me to preach. This is what we're supposed to know today. And so that being the work of the Spirit, then we go and reread Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of Yahweh is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even unto the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Alright, now, it's the Spirit that gives them understanding. And if the Spirit is with these Gentile brethren, and if you're led to them by the Spirit, then let the Spirit do its mighty work. Because it says there in Zechariah 4:7, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. Or, I think it's Zechariah 4:7. Anyway, it's in Zechariah 4 there. And anyway, it says also in Hebrews 5, 12, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of Yahweh, and are become such as have need of meat and not of have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So that's what these Gentiles are. They're just feeding on milk. That's all they're feeding on right now, because that's all they have. And they're just babies. The strong meat belongeth unto them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You have to come to the place where you have your senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now in Isaiah 28:9 it says, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Okay, so now that's pretty conclusive right there. Now let's go to Isaiah chapter 7. And let's just read the whole chapter. It's got 25 verses. Then we'll get into the origin of the Gentiles, hopefully. If not, we'll make it a whole sermon in our next sermon. But right now, we've got to deal with this, with these Gentiles, how to approach them and teaching them the truth by the Spirit. We'll have to let the Spirit guide in this thing. Because, Jeff White, if you will lay a good foundation over there by following these guidelines that I'm showing you, I know it gets tempting to want to go in there and say things that we grew up on, that we learned early, about how the Pope is of this and that, and he's the one that changed the Sabbath to Sunday and brought it, and then they admit it and all this and that. No, that's not what those Gentiles want to hear. They'll run from you every time. But the Holy Spirit knows what they need to hear, and so just pay close attention, and we'll show you. Isaiah 7. And it came to pass in the days of the Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. And was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim. Now, I don't care how you measure it here, you're going to have some Gentiles involved here, more than likely in a confederacy here, against the house of David, against the kingdom of David. Now that's what we represent today, the restored kingdom of David. And his heart was moved, and the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood, are moved with the wind. Then said the Yahweh unto Isaiah, Go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Shur Jashub. Shur, S-H-E-A-R, hyphen, J-A-S-H-U-B. And that would be Shur Jashub, thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. And say unto him, Take heed and be quiet, fear not, neither be faint-hearted. For the two tails of these smoke and firebrands, who are those two smoke and firebrands? Syria and Ephraim. They're in verse 2. For the fierce anger have risen with Syria and of the son of Remaliah. Because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, Let us go up against Judah, the house of David, and that was a big mistake. The tribe of Judah, the lawgiver, I'm going to add it all, and vex it. So here you have outsiders that are looking over the fence, and they can't stand it because David is over there sitting and ruling over this safe kingdom. They can't stand it. They want to go and vex it. And let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Okay, so they said, oh boy, well, we'll make confederacy here between Syria and Ephraim. Now Ephraim is the place of Joseph's reign. And the 10 tribes of Israel. So here's Ephraim want to confederate with Syria, which are definitely Muslim, which they are Muslim, Arabs, And let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, He shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass, for the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. Okay, 65 years, 65 years, Ephraim is going to be broken. The 10 tribes are going to be broken. They're going to go into captivity under the Assyrian yoke, and the head of Ephraim is Samaria. Or they may have already been in captivity under the Assyrian yoke. And the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. So he's telling this guy, you may permit this to your guy, and he says, now if you don't believe what I'm telling you about all these conspirators up in the north, you will not be established. Moreover, the Yahweh speak again unto Ahaz, saying, so he's talking to Ahaz. He said, now if you don't believe, you surely will not be established. Ask thee a sign of Yahweh the Elohim. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Yahweh. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David. So now here is Ahaz, the king on the throne of David here. It is a small thing for you to weary men, but where you weary my Elohim also. Therefore the Yahweh himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Now, I'm going to go back to Hebrews 4:13 and read that to you again. This is where I was headed from the start go. Hebrews 5, verse 14. But strong meat belongeth unto them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now that was Hebrews 5:14, and now I'm going to connect Hebrews 5:14 back up with Isaiah 7:16. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou pourest shall be forsaken of both her kings. Alright, so now we're coming to, this is a latter day prophecy, folks. It's talking about this son that the virgin shall conceive. Verse 11, ask thee a sign of Yahweh. Verse 14, therefore the Yahweh himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Well, we know who that was. That was Mary and Joseph at the cross. That's what brought forth Yahshua to begin with. It was the birth of Yahshua by Mary. This is talking about, and she was a virgin. This is a prophecy. And this is where this prophecy was established. Isaiah made the prophecy. About 500 years later, it was established by the birth of Yahshua. And all of those that are converted and purified and sanctified in the kingdom of Yahshua that he set up with the apostles, they are called Emmanuels. Okay? So now I'm going to read this to you. Therefore, Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Yahshua himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now today, the house of David, since 2002, have been given the gift to discern both good and evil. How to discern it at all times. That's what we're doing today. We're going to establish how to discern good and evil when you see it and hear it on a day-to-day basis. Not just on the Sabbath day, but on a day-to-day basis. This is where we're at, folks. So it says, Isaiah 7:15, butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. Okay, so now it says, the king of the north, in other words, over the Ephraim's 10 tribes, and the king of Syria, they're going to be both forsaken of her kings. In other words, they're not going to be a threat to the house of David anymore. So that's what we're looking at today. The house of David has been set up And Yahweh got rid of, he's already got rid of the threat of Ephraim today. When he got rid of Brother Johnson and cut him off and give me the leadership and moved out of the 11th parabolic hour, he cut off the threat of Ephraim in Syria today in the Adventist Church. Because that's where they were lodged at, in the Adventist Church. And by the prophet sitting upon the throne of David, holding a stronghold on doctrine, present truth doctrine, is what kept us in bondage down there in spiritual Egypt in front of Texas for 33 years. You see where we're going with all of this, folks? All right. It says in Isaiah 7:17, "The Yahweh shall bring upon thee and upon thy people and upon thy father's house days that have not come from the day that Ephraim departed from Judah." Now you get that? And who was the king of Ephraim when they departed from Judah? Jeroboam. And he was called out of Egypt because Solomon threatened to kill him while Solomon was alive. But he was called, and he fled to Egypt, and then he was called out of Egypt to become the head of the 10 tribes after Solomon died. Actually, the head of the 12 tribes, to be over the 12 tribes. But Judah and Benjamin rebelled in the south and said, "No, and we're not going to serve under Jeroboam because he's evil." And so then Jeroboam went to make a deal with Rehoboam, the king of Judah, and they couldn't make a deal, so they separated once again. This is what this is all about. So in Isaiah 7:18, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the Yahweh shall hiss for the fly that is in the uttermost part of the rivers of Egypt, and for the bee that is in the land of Assyria. And they shall come and shall rest all of them in the desolate valleys, and in the holes of the rocks, upon all thorns, and upon all bushes. In the same day shall the Yahweh shave with a razor that is hired, namely, by them beyond the river, by the king of Assyria, the head and the hair of the feet, and it shall come, it shall also consume the beard, and it shall come to pass in that day that a man shall nourish a young cow and two sheep. And it shall come to pass for the abundance of the milk that they shall give, he shall eat butter, for butter and honey shall everyone eat that is left in the land. And it shall come to pass in that day that every place shall be where there were 1,000 vines and 1,000 silverlings, it shall even be for briars and thorns. With arrows and with bows shall men come to thee, because all the land shall become briars and thorns, and on all hills that shall be digged with the mattocks, there shall not come thither the fear of the briars and thorns, but it shall be for the sending forth of the ox and for the treading of lesser cattle." Okay, that ends Isaiah chapter 7. Okay, let's go now to Genesis chapter 10, and let's make good on our promise to establish the foundation for the Gentile nation. Okay, it says in, start with verse 1. "Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah: Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and unto them were sons born after the flood. The sons of Japheth, Gomer, and Magog, and Medea, and Avan, and Tubal, and Meshech, and Tirash." Okay, there were 7 sons born under Japheth. Now keep that in mind. Japheth is the 3rd son of Noah. And he is the father of the Gentile nations, which we're going to prove to you as we develop this chapter. Verse 3. "And the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, and Riphath, and Togarmah, and the sons of Avan, Elisha, and Tarshish, Chittim, and Dodam. Now, by these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, every one after his tongue, after their families and their nation. Now, Gomer was a son of Japheth, the third son of Noah. And Gomer had a son named Ashkenaz, and Riphath, and Togarmah. And the second son of Japheth, his name was Avan, J-A-V-A-N, and he had Elisha, and Tarshish, Chittim, and Dodam. So he had four sons. Gomer had three sons. So there were seven sons that were called grandsons now of Jacob. That come from there's only seven grandsons came from two sons of Jacob. So Japheth had Gomer, Magog, Madiah, and Avan, and Tubal, and Meshach, and Tirah. He had seven sons. But only two sons, grandsons, brought forth seven sons that established the isles of the Gentiles, divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue, after their families and their nations. And the sons of Ham, Cush, and Mizraim, and Put, and Canaan, and the sons of Cush, Seba, and Havilah, and Sabta, and Ramah, and Septeka, and the sons of Ramah, Seba, and Dedan. Okay, so now that goes on and on and on about all these as born from those seven sons. And one of those was Cush, Nimrod, that were the fathers of Babylon. So so Babylon is called a Gentile nation. And today Babylon reigns over all the Gentile nations and all of the world for right now. So it's called Mystery Babylon. But Babylon is a descendant of the Hebrew. All those that Cush and Seba and Havilah and Sabta and Ramah and all those that was born from those seven grandsons of Jacob. And that's where all your nations came from. The Gentile, and Babylon was one of those Gentile nations. So all the nations of the world are bloodline kin to the Hebrew Israelite. And all the nations of the world have risen up against Israel. And so all the nations of the world outside of Israel are called Gentile nations. And you have both good and bad among those Gentile nations. You have righteous nations among them. You have evil nations. Babylon is one of those evil nations. So read the whole 10th chapter of Genesis and understand that Yahweh says, "You of all the families of Egypt have I chosen, another I'll not choose." He's talking about Israel, the Hebrews. And he says to be my ruler over the world, and to be my posterity to the ends of the earth. So all nations are going to come flowing unto the house of Israel after Zechariah 14 battle takes place and gets rid of all of those evil Gentiles that come to fight against Israel. Now we can better understand Zechariah prophecy now, and I'll go read it to you. So the Gentile nations, they are the ones responsible for changing Yahweh's law. The Gentiles. They are the ones responsible for changing, because the Pope Constantine that takes the first responsibility for changing the Sabbath to Sunday is the Gentile. All nations outside of Israel are Gentile nations. That's where all the Gentiles are residing, all those nations around the world. Zechariah 1. It says, verse 21. Then said I, what come these to do? And he spake, saying, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man did lift up his head. But these are come to fray them, to cast out the horns of the Gentiles. All the Gentile nations that have come against Israel to battle Jerusalem, to overthrow it, which lifted up their horn over the land of Judah to scatter it. So now, we're going to go back now and read this. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 1. And we're going to read all 21 verses of it. And the Gentiles is only mentioned one time in all the book of Zechariah. And there's 14 chapters, but nevertheless, these horns that it's talking about right here, talking about the horns, these are the Gentile nation. All right, this is verse 1. In the eighth month in the second year of Darius came the word of Yahweh unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying. Now today, we have an antitypical Darius that is at second in charge of our government, and that is Mike Pence, the vice president. Donald Trump is antitypical Cyrus. He's the first one in charge of our government. Now these two men have got to work collectively together to overthrow the Gentiles. They have taken over our government in Washington, D.C. Both Democrats and Republicans, they're all just Gentiles. You got a situation where you got an outsider that's come in. He's a King Cyrus, Donald Trump. And he brought antitypical Darius with him. Now let's go ahead and read this in Zechariah 1, verse 2. Yahweh has said, hath been sore displeased with your fathers. Therefore say thou unto them, thus saith Yahshua of the host, turn ye unto me, saith Yahshua of the host, and I will turn unto you, saith Yahshua of the host. Be ye not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, thus saith Yahshua of the host, turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doing, but they did not hear, nor hearken unto me, saith Yahweh. Your fathers where are they? That's a question. And the prophets, do they live forever? But my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants the prophets, now there's your word commanded is a past tense adverb. It means action. Did they not take a hold of your father? And they returned and said, like as the Yahshua the host thought to do unto us, according unto our ways, according unto our doings, so hath he dealt with us. Upon the 24th day of the 11th month, which is in the month of Shebat, in the second year of the Darius, came the word of Yahweh unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse. And he stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom, and behind him were their red horses speckled and white. Now, it's an amazing thing Mike Pence represents antithetical to Rush today. And they keep writing articles on, and then they're calling him President Pence, President Pence. And they're saying that he is really the real brains behind Donald Trump's presidency. Of course, they don't know the half of it, but nevertheless, they keep insinuating about the presence of President Pence, that he's a solid foundation to set up a new government with, not Donald Trump. So the prophecy shows where Cyrus and Darius had to join up together because Darius did succeed Cyrus. But we don't have our prophecy yet on just how that will develop here in the Antitype in our day, because Donald Trump is sure to be in there as long as he can, don't die of something. He's going to be in there for two terms, for 8 years. Okay. Then said I, verse 9, Zechariah 1. Then said I, O my Yahweh, what are these? And the angel that talked with me said unto me, I will show thee what these be. And the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, these are they whom the Yahshua, or Yahweh, has sent to walk to and fro through the earth. And he answered the angel of Yahweh that stood among the myrtle trees and said, we have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest. And this is a prophecy about William Miller that took his people, about 50,000 strong, and for 10 years he went throughout the earth, the whole world. And he thought that it would culminate in the coming of Yahshua and bring all prophecies to a close and take them to heaven, the waiting saint. Well, it didn't work out that way, and so this prophecy shows it. Then the angel of Yahweh answered and said, O Yahshua of hosts, how long wilt thou not have mercy on Yahushua and on the cities of Judah? Actually, this is Yahshua, actually. I keep saying Yahweh, the Father, but it's all upper and lower case. And this Yahshua, the host, is certainly the Son. How long wilt thou not have mercy on Yahushua and on the cities of Judah? Again, of which thou hast had indignation these 70 years. And Yahshua answered the angel that talked with me with good words and comfortable words. So the angel that communed with me said unto me, cry thou, saying, thus saith Yahshua the host, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy, and I am very sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease. For I was but a little displeased, and they helped forward the affliction. Therefore thus saith Yahshua, I am returned unto Jerusalem with mercy. My house shall be built in it, saith Yahshua of the host, and a line shall be stretched forth upon Yahushua. Cry yet, saying, thus saith Yahshua the host, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad, and the Yahshua shall yet comfort Zion, and shall yet choose Yahushua. The vision of the four horns. Then lifted I up mine eyes and saw, and behold, four horns, and I said unto the angel that talked with me, what be these? And he answered me, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. So now in verse 18 it says, then lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, four horns. Now these four horns represent the Gentile nation. And I said unto the angel that talked with me, what be these? And he answered me, these are the horns, Gentiles, nations, which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. So all you got to do is go and look at and see who it was. It was Assyria, number one. Okay. And the Yahshua showed me four carpenters. Now these four carpenters also translates into Gentiles. nation. Then said I, what come these to do? And he spake, saying, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man to lift up his head. But these are come to fray them. So he said, there's four horns. There's four horns there that have scattered Judah, so that no man to lift up his head. But these other Gentile nations, represented by four horns, they've come to fray them, to cast out the horns of the Gentiles, which lifted up their horn over the land of Judah to scatter it. So, those Muslims and all of those in there today, all those terrorist organizations that have surrounded Jerusalem, choking the life out of her, they're all saying, this is our Jerusalem. This is our land of Israel. Don't belong to them Hebrews. Don't belong to those Jews. So those horns, he's got four bad horns of the Gentiles. He's got four good horns, friendly horns. And so he's going to let the Gentiles come in and run their own kinsmen out of Jerusalem. And then these four good horns are going to rebuild Jerusalem with their finances, with their own hands, with their labor. They're going to rebuild it. And they're going to rebuild it, and they're going to see that Yahshua in person is going to be sitting upon the throne of David when they get through rebuilding of that. And they're going to join the house of Israel. Well, as a matter of fact, they already have. Whenever they come back in to cast out their Gentile brethren, and they have conceded that they have joined the house of Israel. Let's go to Isaiah now, chapter 19. Let's start with verse 1. The burden of Egypt. Now here's you some Gentiles right here. Verse 1, the Yahweh, Yahshua, rideth upon a swift cloud, and shall come into Egypt. And the idols of Egypt shall be moved at his presence, and the heart of Egypt shall melt in the midst of it. Now this is a Latter-day prophecy that ties right in with Zechariah chapter 1. And I will set the Egyptians against the Egyptians, and they shall fight every one against his brother, and every one against his neighbor, city against city, and kingdom against kingdom. And the spirit of Egypt shall fail in the midst thereof, and I will destroy the counsel thereof, and they shall seek unto the idols, and unto the charmers, and unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto the wizards. And the Egyptians will I give over into the hand of a cruel master, lord. And a fierce king shall rule over them, saith Yahshua of hosts. This is Yahshua talking here, folks. He's in charge of this prophecy. And the water shall fail from the sea, and the rivers shall be wasted and dried up. And they shall turn the rivers far away, and the brooks of Ephraim shall be emptied and dried up. The reeds and flags shall wither. The paper reads by the brooks, by the mouth of the brooks, and everything sown by the brooks shall wither, be driven away and be no more. The fishes also shall mourn, and all they that cast angle into the brooks shall lament. And they that spread nets upon the water shall languish. Moreover, they that work in the fine flax, and they that weave networks shall be confounded. They shall be broken in the purposes thereof, all that make sluices and ponds for fish. Surely the princes of Zoan are fools. The council of the wise counselors of the Pharaoh is become brutish. How say ye unto Pharaoh, I am the son of the wise, the son of the ancient kings? Where are they? Where are thy wise men? and let them tell thee now, and let them know what the Yahshua the host has purposed upon Egypt. For the princes of Zoan are become fools. The princes of Nop are deceived. They have also seduced Egypt, even they that are the stay of the tribes thereof. Yahshua hath mingled a perverse spirit in the midst thereof, and they have caused Egypt to err in every work thereof, as a drunken man staggereth in his vomit. Neither shall there be any work for Egypt, which the head or tail, branch or rush may do. In that day shall Egypt be like unto women, and it shall be afraid and fear because of the shaking of the hand of the Yahshua the host, which he shaketh over it. And the land of Judah shall be a terror unto Egypt. Every one that maketh mention thereof shall be afraid in himself, because of the counsel of the Yahshua of the host, which he hath determined against it. And that day shall five cities in the land of Egypt speak the language of Canaan, and swear to the Yahshua the host. One shall be called a city of destruction. And that day shall there be an altar unto the Yahshua in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border thereof to the Yahshua. And it shall be for a sign and for a witness unto the Yahshua of the host in the land of Egypt, for they shall cry unto the Yahshua because of the oppressors, and he shall send them a Savior, and a great one, and he shall deliver them. Okay, he's going to send them a Savior. And Yahshua shall be known unto Egypt, and the Egyptians shall know Yahshua in that day, and shall be sacrificed and oblation. Yea, they shall vow a vow unto the Yahshua, and perform it. And the Yahshua shall smite Egypt, he shall smite and heal it, and they shall return even unto the Yahshua, and he shall be entreated of them, and shall heal them. There's a key word, heal them. Heal these Gentile Egyptian nation. And that day shall there be a highway out of Egypt unto Assyria, and the Assyrians shall come into Egypt, and the Assyrian into Assyria, and the Egyptian into Assyria, and the Egyptians shall serve with the Assyrian. There's your Gentile nation. It took the 10 tribes into captivity in 721 B.C. And that day shall Israel be the third with Egypt and with Assyria. There's that Gentile nation that took in the 10 tribes captivity that laid the foundation for Babylon. Now that's another story, folks. Even a blessing in the midst of the land. The land of what? The land of Egypt. Whom the Yahshua the host shall bless, saying, blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance. That brings the end of our study this hour. Contest is at the 11th hour call. It's number 11, click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.
King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary. Show me the tomb where thou wast laid, tenderly hard and wet. Angels in robes of light arrayed, guard as he while thou slept. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony,
shall glory. Let me like Mary through the gloom come with a gift to thee. Show to me now the empty tomb, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thy agony, lest I forget the love for me, lead me to Calvary. May I be willing your to bear daily my cross for thee, even my cup of grief to share, thou hast borne all for me. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary.